Jackson.
Brad, man,
I was about to ask, is that how we're going to start this? And because that seems about right.
Time to talk about another Disney Channel original movie.
I'm just going to get this one out of the way because I can't help myself. Okay. This was rough.
You Lucky Dog is certainly a movie.
It lasts longer than 60 minutes.
You Lucky Dog, starring Kirk Cameron.
Can we precursor everything except for the little bit that we've done? If you like You Lucky Dog, you go ahead and head on to the next episode. Because I can only speak for myself, but I don't think this is going to go well for you.
Yeah, it's just... All right, so yeah, You Lucky Dogs is the second Disney Channel original movie. It came out in 1998. It stars Kirk Cameron and some other people.
Wait, not just some other people, like some actual, like, good quality... Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil is in this movie,
no,
man.
No, yes. I was going to say, you will recognize probably Taylor Negron because he's been in everything. Like, he's one of those guys who shows up in everything. He's in Seinfeld and Friends and ER. And like,
and he has a really recognizable face.
Yeah. He's got like 130 acting credits on IMDb. So that dude's just everywhere. You'll recognize him. And then inexplicably, James Avery, Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, is just like in it. But everybody else is pretty unrecognizable and forgettable. Although, I will say Chelsea Noble is Kirk Cameron's real life wife. So the Allison Kent, the attorney, that's his wife.
Ah, so that's what she looks familiar from. Gotcha.
That's the meaningful cast. Kirk Cameron.
Wait. Jane Carr is also in this movie. The
British maid.
Yes.
She's another one of those people who's kind of in everything.
Who's in every 117 credits on.
Yeah.
It has not reached the bottom of the barrel where we're having to go to IMDb credits, but it was just one of those things where I'm like, she's so familiar. And I went and looked and I'm like, oh, she's in everything. Well, that's why.
Her voice is so memorable. Like, I recognized her voice instantly. Before I saw her, I recognized her voice.
Yeah, and she's just been in so many things where she is like the, you know, that character actor that's in that one episode of that TV show or something like that. And yeah, you've almost definitely seen her in stuff before. So it's not like this movie is without, maybe without like hard hitting star power. But it's not without any star power or something like that.
Well, and yeah, I mean, Kirk Cameron was very famous from Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously James Avery from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. These were recognizable people in the 90s. Anyway, let's just dive right in.
Hey Jeremy, what's the synopsis of this film, Jeremy?
So the first, if you're looking at Wikipedia, the first six words of the plot synopsis are, Jack Morgan is a dog therapist. So the movie opens on a montage of Kirk Cameron and his childhood dog, and he's like this famous kid because he can read his dog's mind, and everyone's amazed, and cut to Kirk as an adult, and he's running a dog therapy business, but he can't read dogs' minds anymore. So he's basically charging people $50 for him to sit in a room with their dog while he takes a nap and the dog eats sandwiches off of his desk.
And clearly he's not doing this successfully, given, you know, the status of his office. And we are very quickly, you know, the secretary is trying to dodge bill collector's phone. Oh, it got there and there was nothing in the envelope. It must have fallen out. That sort of but like the jump cut from kid can talk to his dog and like, you know, is clearly being studied by doctors and all this sort of stuff. And then is dog psychiatrist at some in some random town, you know,
and like, everyone hates him.
Yeah, and there's like he's covered in multiple magazines and stuff, which, by the way, did they use Kirk Cameron's actual like childhood pictures for that? Because
yes.
That looked way too good to be late 90s de-aging technology going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no,
there.
That was definitely childhood photos of Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, and some nice photoshopping going on. But just like the way that they jumped to that, and then they very this thing has something. It has to be like an 80-minute runtime, right?
It's an hour 28.
Okay, so almost a 90-minute runtime, but yet they didn't feel like they had enough time to introduce us to, you know, he fell from grace or whatever, and then he could no longer talk to dogs, and so he's still trading on his name, I guess? Other than to just, like, jump straight in and be like, ha-ha, he's almost out on his rear, and... He can't talk to dogs anymore.
I think what they were trying to do with that, though, is to give him some kind of an arc, like introduce us to him and say, like, look, this guy's not a good person. And then, you know, throughout the movie, have him have an arc.
So the movie can't decide what kind of person he
right.
is.
Yeah.
He goes back and forth so much. He takes money from people by sleeping while he's supposedly in session with their dog.
Yeah, like he's a liar. He's a bad person at the beginning.
But then the old guy shows up and he wants him to talk to his dog and he can't do it, and he gets a little creeped out because he thinks he maybe can hear the dog or something, and then he's like, well, I had to cut it short so I wouldn't charge you. Like, you want me to believe that this dude is completely unscrupulous and will take money from whoever he can, but then he has the moral high ground to say, no, that's okay, I cut the session. I thought this guy was, like, hurting for money and was going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But then he's not. So
the when we see him sleeping while he's, quote, in session with someone else's dog, the man of the relationship, it's a man and his wife, the man is not having it. And so he busts into the office and catches Kirk Cameron asleep while the dog's up on his desk eating a sandwich off of a plate. And he says, you're a fraud. I'm a friend of the mayor's and I'm going to have this place, you know, closed down. And then an older, like, they storm out, and then almost immediately after, an older guy and Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince come in, and with a dog, and Kirk Cameron makes, you know, he's like, when's my next opening? And they're like, oh my gosh, we had a cancellation, we can start right now, you know, like trying to make it seem like they were
he's important
busy.
And actually has something going on.
And so they bring the dog in, or he brings the dog in. Kirk Cameron, you know, tells the dog to get up on the chair, and then he goes to sit down at his desk like usual. But this particular dog, he has a connection with. And I think the whole, like, I think what they were trying to do there was he's, like, super freaked out. He's like, freaking out because he knows for the last, whatever, 12, 15 years, he hasn't been able to talk to dogs. And all of a sudden, he is talking to this dog, and he doesn't want it. And so he's like, you know what, whatever, get out of here. I'm not going to charge you, whatever, just get out because I don't want any part of this. And after, you know, they leave, and after that happens, we cut to a couple weeks later, his office is being foreclosed on, and there's guys coming in and repossessing everything, and Uncle Phil comes back and says, hey, the old man died, you need to come to his, you know, estate reading or whatever. And so they take Kirk Cameron back, and this is where we figure out, like, this old man was extremely rich, and basically his two nephews and niece, who are his apparently only living relatives, are jerks.
Yes. Then we're introduced to the actual horrible, horrible people in the film.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Hey,
and so,
what happened to the secretary?
Yeah, she's just gone. I expected, on. Okay, wait, hang on. Let's put a pin in the secretary and come back to her, because
you want to go ahead and get through the three horrible people.
Yeah, yeah. So they're all at the house. The two nephews and the niece are at the house, and the lawyer is reading the will, and he says, what does he say? To the woman, your vanity or your greed is eclipsed only by your vanity. So to you, I leave a mirror,
a full length mirror.
Yeah. And then to the other guy, calls him lazy, and he leaves him a big chair. And the guy's like, oh, I always loved that chair. So he's all, you know, he's stoked he only got a chair.
Well, because he is the dumb character in the movie.
Yeah, he's the dummy. And then the other guy gets nothing. He says, like, absolutely nothing. You just get nothing. And then the $64 million goes into a trust. And the trust is the dog somehow. And apparently, and so we find out later what the guy has done is given the trust, put the trust in the dog's name, and has gotten Kirk Cameron.
The trustee.
Is Kirk Cameron, and he is in charge of the dog. So whatever, you know, like he's got the money. He's in charge of the money because
he gets to say what the dog says that the dog wants to spend it on. And thus the money gets spent because that's
I think
what
they
dog
call him
spend.
The dog's translator. And yes. So he's the one who gets to say what the dog would want. And so, yeah, at this point, all of the family is really mad and they attack him and then leave. They're being taken out of the house by the police. This is where I thought he was going to call the receptionist.
Yeah. The person who, because early, again, when we go back to the office, he has the secretary who is quitting because she's found some job that's pretty menial, but it's still, and he's like, what about if I gave you a raise? And she's like, I'd settle for what you owe me. And she's like, you haven't been able to read dogs since you were 14. So there's like all this history with him and her. And yes, that's when I expect her to show up again. She's gone.
Yeah. Mrs. Exposition just kind of disappears like immediately. Yeah. And I was like, I figured he was going to call her and say, hey, I just inherited this huge mansion. You can have a wing, you know, you can come live here, whatever. You can have a room, you can like whatever you want. You know, we've made it big, but nope. After the place gets foreclosed on, after the office is gone, she's gone. So we don't ever see her again.
Yeah, which is so like that was. There's so many things in this movie that just blew. It's such a mishmash of events that happened.
Yeah. So. At this point, Kirk Cameron's having fun in the house. We, you know, he has a funny thing where he's in the tub and the housekeepers come up and see him, you know, in the tub and they run away. But this is the, after that scene, this is the first time where we get a glimpse of his and Lucky's connection, because Lucky gets very, very excited about remembering that he had buried some bones in the backyard. And Kirk Cameron, like, just turns into a dog pretty much.
Yeah, that's when we find out that Jack's crutch here is if the dog gets too excited, he's no longer interfacing with the dog. He becomes the dog.
He is the dog, which is going to be important later, so keep that in mind. He and Lucky go in the backyard, and Kirk Cameron is like legit digging holes like a dog, and they go in and tear up the house. Kirk Cameron and the dog are like ripping up pillows and ripping up cushions and just destroying everything. And the housekeepers get all freaked out and they bail. You know, the lady who we were talking about, Jane Carr, says, we're going to go because we think you're upset or you're possessed by the devil or something. So,
No. Because this is the best line in this movie. It must be done credit. She says, it's nothing personal, but I think you might be possessed by the devil.
That is a pretty good line, especially with her voice and her accent. It's very good.
Yeah, I think you might be possessed by the devil or something, so we're just going to go now. That is, and like, that was such a beautiful line in this in this movie, but oh my gosh, that was great when she said that. And then they just peace out. And again, another set of characters that, like, you would expect to maybe, like, I expected, and I know that we're jumping, or I know that I'm jumping, but I'm just going to say this. I expected to see them in the courtroom scene, but do you ever see them again? No. Why would you? They're going to later in the court try to prove that he is not mentally stable, and maybe some house staff that saw him ripping apart a house would be helpful for that. But again.
Jane Carr is a witness. She testifies in the court.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Apparently this is the quality of this film. Maybe I had just checked out by that scene. Okay, good. I'm glad to know that she's at least back. Okay.
Yeah. So the next morning, Uncle Phil comes down and is like, "Hey, dude, what happened there? You freaked me out. It's the first time I've ever locked my door and slept with the light on."
Which was also a good...
my favorite line.
See, that's my second favorite. Like I said, it's nothing personal, but you may be possessed by the devil.
James Avery making his, you know, his crazy faces. That was my favorite. It's the first time I've ever locked my door and slept with the light on.
Yeah, being much more laid back than he was, you know, because you're like, or I shouldn't say you. I'm used to seeing him as like the straight-laced, gruff Uncle Phil character,
mm-hmm.
you know, and right. seeing him really have, because he had fun with this character, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So
he is definitely the best part of this movie.
Yes.
Uncle Phil.
Yes, I took a moment to try to decide if I could see any other more redeeming quality, and no, yeah, you're right. Uncle Phil is the best part of this movie.
So I'm kind of going to blow through some of this.
You should. We don't, you know what? If somebody wants to see every plot point, you can watch this movie. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Praise. Oh gosh. I'm so glad this is on Disney Plus, because if I had spent money on this, I would be so upset with myself right now.
So after he explains to Uncle Phil, like, "Hey, I, you know, become the dog," Uncle Phil's like, "Okay, bud, whatever you say." But like, he's, you know, cool with it. He's a really cool guy. He offers to make him breakfast, make him coffee, stuff like that. Then there's like this big long sequence where they go to the mall and spend a ton of money on couches and dog toys. And
they take the dog to... Okay, you and I both... I know there are a few years between us, but both of us lived through the mall era, which I would say is no longer really a thing, right? More or less. We are no longer in peak mall. And even 98, I don't know, that's on the tail end of the mall, I think. But still definitely in the mall. I don't remember people just like rolling through with St. Bernards in the mall.
Yeah, and like everybody's in the furniture store, like nobody really puts up much of a fight. One of the salesmen's like, "Get the dog off the couch," and Kirk Cameron basically says, "No," and the guy's like, "All right."
Well, okay. And now, in the salesman's defense, he says, "No, he has to try them out. We're buying this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one."
Right. Yeah. The $5,000 leather sofa.
Yes. Yeah. The most expensive couch in the whole place.
But so they buy, you know, Lucky wants this couch and this chair, and Lucky wants all this, you know, all these toys and all these bones, and Lucky wants to rip out all the marble floors and replace them with AstroTurf because it's too hard to run on marble. I mean, this is kind of like the sequence where we're supposed to understand, like, This guy is talking to Lucky, and Lucky is the one spending the money.
And Lucky wants to live it. Yeah, Lucky wants to live it up. Oh, and by the way,
again, feeding into this idea that Kirk Cameron has a character arc, and that he is legitimately not skimming money off the top. Like, all of the money that they spend at the mall is, quote, what the dog would want to buy. So, like, if you're buying into this character arc that's not much of an arc at all because he's only bad in the first, you know, 1 second of the movie, but this is, again, supposed to be showing us, like, look, he's becoming a good person, or look, he is actually a good person. And I think that's I think they're totally good at proving that he's a good person. They were extremely lazy in proving that he was a bad person.
Exactly. And like I said, they never could decide because when he moves into the mansion, the tub scene where he's like singing about all the money that he has, you know, and all of that, like that is, I guess, supposed to convince us that he only cares about, you know, using the money because he's the, you know, he's like, oh, I speak for the dog. Whatever I say is what goes. That's the way the money's going to be spent. But the 180.
But they don't pay that off.
No. He has to like misuse the money first for me to buy that he's legitimately a bad person. And
he would have needed to like go get a Ferrari or something.
Yeah. And try to
pick up the attorney and the Ferrari. And then, you know, she turns him down. And then he goes through this thing where he feels bad about it. And then he like gives the Ferrari to the dog or, you know, some sort of weird dog related redemption for that. But they don't. They just like, oh, no, he's good. He's pretty much always been a good person. Like, he's all talk and no bad.
And also the attorney apparently needs papers signed. So she's going to meet them. And he says, let's meet at the mall and it's all going fine. Oh, and by the way, this is when we throw in that, you know, the attorney is the attorney a love interest?
Yeah, because so the clever exposition of that moment is he meets her with the paperwork and he they're at the pet store and Kirk Cameron says, oh, cute puppy, what's his name? And the little daughter says,
By the way, the lawyer also has a daughter and is apparently divorced because he does go, oh, so she's single, you know, because I think the daughter says about daddy doesn't live with us or
the little girl says we can't get him because we don't have room because daddy got the house.
There you go. That's how Kirk Cameron threw that.
Oh, not married. Like, daddy got the house? Is that the best way to say that?
Better question. Is mommy really that great of an attorney? Or are mommy and daddy both? Like, there's a lot that's left unsaid there for me. And this is after Kirk Cameron has already gone on the shopping spree with Lucky, right?
Right. Yeah.
But
everything was getting delivered.
But he's, at that point, we say he's a good person, right? Because he spent all the money on the dog. Does a good person hear, we can't get the puppy because daddy got the house. Oh, so she's single. Like, does that sound like a good person?
Yeah. They're all over the place with his character.
And then we also get told that apparently the attorney is from a large family and she wishes her daughter had the, you know, like all the cousins that she had around her when she was growing up. And before we
it's a
get,
real it's a real sob story.
But before they wrap that up, though, what the dog smells is in the food court smells. What was the name of that place?
I have no idea. Like Wiener Schnitzel or something.
No, it was like, gosh, what did he smelled like? Chicken Chow Mein,
Hot Dog Hank's, Hot Dog Emporium.
It was like Chow Mein Tommy's or something. I don't know. I actually didn't write it down, but it was such a weird name for a place. And so, you know, the dog is excited because it smells food. So then Kirk becomes a dog and she just seems to be relatively okay. Oh, him and the dog just seem really hungry to her.
And so, and like they're digging in the trash and eating food off of other people's plates. And she sees this, and let's keep that in mind for later. But she's like, okay, no problem. That's fine.
I think she left before they started eating off of other people's tables. Because I think she peaced out like about the time that he was about to go buy a bunch of food.
Mm.
Oh yeah, Wonton Tommy's, real time follow up because I totally just looked that up. It was Wonton Tommy's. It's the name of the place in the mall, and not. Oh my goodness, there are so many just like random things, and meanwhile, while all of this is going on, by the way, there's also a B story where the nephews and the niece want to get the money. So they go and talk to a, I guess, shady lawyer.
Mr. Pfister.
Yeah. Yeah. That's That's who they went and talked to. Anyway, they go talk to this shady lawyer who says, I can get him out of there in a couple of weeks. I just need 30%. But again, because the movie really wants to just hammer home that whole, they're horrible people, they don't want to give 30%. So they're trying to come up with their own way. And when they were on their way to the mall, Kirk Cameron is sticking his head out of the window like a dog. They're supposed to
be... of the limo being driven by Uncle Phil.
Yeah, they're videotaping this. And I thought I was watching Surf Ninjas. Was it Surf Ninjas? I think it was Surf Ninjas, which is another quality film, my friend, if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
when they're so focused on getting film of him that they rear end another vehicle.
And then, yeah. And then Dum Dum says, oh, I forgot to bring a tape.
No,
and then they just
hey. Right here, right now, that does not go on Dum Dum, okay? That goes on the people who trust Dum Dum to be in charge of filming. He is not, you know what? This film does have some quality lines in it. At some point, they say, we're down to our last quarter. And he says, can I use it for the vibrating bed? Like when they're at this really skeezy motel.
That was another thing we forgot to talk about. Like after they find out they're not getting any money, they're all immediately destitute.
And immediately destitute and kicked out of the house.
When they're meeting with Mr. Pfister, they are like, we don't have any money. What are we going to do? And he says, you got to curb your spending. And they're like, curb your spending? And then she says, I use an imported shampoo. And so then they're obviously in like the world's worst motel and they're driving a VW conversion bus.
Did I miss the part where they got
these
the bus?
Things cost money.
No,
they just had the car.
Okay, because like why would any of the three of them have that sketchy VW bus? Like
it's on the cutting room floor, the deleted scene where Dum Dum gives the guy his shoe or something in exchange for the car.
I mean, it's
like,
it's,
no, they just had the car.
Yeah, because they're and it, there's like a sink in that bus or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, the car is just honestly, the car is just a sight gag. Like
it totally
they could have been driving anything, but they're driving this terrible, terrible car.
But they need to explain to me how they got this car. But anyway, yeah. So like I said, Dum Dum is not responsible for no videotape. Yeah. They are responsible for putting Dum Dum in charge of that.
His siblings should know him better than that. But so yeah, they rear end a guy and then they just drive away. And
well, because like, the guy's like getting out of his car all upset.
They've destroyed this family's bicycles that were on the back of their car. And so they just drive away and oh no, we lost them. Dang, you know. So yeah, this whole time the we keep cutting back and forth to this incredibly inept family trying to figure out a way to get to Kirk Cameron and the dog, because their whole thing is if they can prove that Kirk Cameron is not mentally stable, then they'll get the money. And so that's their whole thing.
Right, because Mr. Pfister told them that he could prove that for 30%, right. But they're like, we could do it our way, and then we get to keep all of our money.
Right. And so they're trying to figure out how to prove that he's not mentally stable. So cut to, like, after the whole mall thing, we cut to the stuff being delivered to the house. And the I'm just going to call them the siblings. The siblings are in their van outside watching all this, appalled that, you know, they've spent so much money on dog toys. And the woman walks up.
Because she's going to use her feminine wiles.
Yeah, she's going to try to...
On old Jack.
Seduce him. And so she, you know, is like, maybe we can just talk business. but Lucky is not having it. Lucky, the dog, is... very upset that she's there, which makes him excited, which means, whoa, Jack is turning into a dog again. And so Kirk Cameron, I keep switching between Kirk Cameron and Jack. Kirk Cameron turns into a dog, chases her away, and with his teeth, rips the butt out of the back of her skirt. Now, she's wearing a slip, so this is a Disney Channel original movie, but he does rip the back of her skirt off.
He gets down on all fours, starts growling. She goes, ah, and he suddenly got a piece of fabric in his mouth because he has bitten her on the rear end.
Yeah. Why
is that not the part? Why is the movie not over right there?
Well, because the movie has to do a total 180 and become a courtroom drama.
No. There is something before the courtroom drama, and it is where you could have cut, because it felt like this went on for 30 minutes, and you could have cut some of that and convinced me that Kirk Cameron was a dirtbag before he believed in Lucky once more, because that scene in the house where the siblings decide, okay, we can't prove that he is inept. Again,
break-in.
He bites her, they still can't quite put together how they're going to prove that he maybe isn't right in the head. And so they decide that they're going to get rid of Lucky.
Kill the dog.
Yeah, yeah. Now
I totally forgot.
It's also a very roundabout. So when they're going to get rid of the dog, by the way, one of the nephews. So we've got Dum Dum, we've got Feminine Wiles, and then we've got
the Brain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dum Dum, Skirts McGee, and the Brains.
Okay. So Brains, at that point says, we can just get rid of the dog. I can do it again, and I'm going to enjoy planning it. Which, what's he mean again? You know, that could be important later.
Yeah.
And so
foreshadowing.
Yeah. So they decide they're going to get rid of the dog with Trank darts. I guess, is that because this is a Disney Channel movie? Is that why they're going to use Trank? And okay, but so. Again, a movie that cannot decide what its characters are going to be. Brains can't, like, this is not going to work out. By the way, spoiler alert, after a forever long break-in scene where they're going to break in, Trank the dog, and get rid of it, they will not be successful in this endeavor.
Where Dum Dum shoots an inflatable Dalmatian thinking it is this... It's not a St. Bernard, but it's like the look and shape of a St. Bernard, like this St. Bernard dog.
No, it's not even the shape of a St. It's a cheap inflatable.
No. I mean the actual dog, Lucky.
Oh, yes. Lucky is a St. Bernard. Or
this inflatable Dalmatian looks nothing like Lucky, other than it is a dog.
Or like a real dog. It looks like an inflatable
dog. It is the shape of a dog, but he uses his tranquilizer dart to shoot and deflate this inflatable dog. So he's done.
They have multiple darts.
And then Kirk Cameron hears them, goes and wakes up Uncle Phil, and they, you know, go down there and catch him in the act.
But no. This is what I'm saying. This fails, right? And in the meantime, Dum Dum gets shot in the arm. Brains gets shot in the leg, and Skirts McGee gets shot in the buttocks. We can say that, right? We don't have to bleep that.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, good. A double shot, one on each side there.
Your favorite drink in a can, the Skirts McGee double shot.
There you go. But okay, so that is the ineptitude that is on, like, they can't seem to find the dog. They're sneaking around the house. They're constantly running into each other, shooting each other. Hijinks ahoy. But to start this all off, in order to break into this, you know, extremely opulent home, they had to cut the phone, cut the alarm, and cut the lights, right? So they go up to this big panel on the side of the house, pop it open. Of course, everything is in one place because convenience, right?
And also, like, clearly labeled alarm. And
No. Because that is where this film cannot decide what kind of brains has. Brains pops open one box that is just a rat's nest of cables. And he's like, I've got to cut the alarms and the phones. And he goes, snip, snip, snip. And you see the alarm system goes down. The phones go down. And he's like, and this will turn off the lights. And he pulls the deal. And off goes the, like, he knows all. Like, I have no clue how you would be able to tell which one of those random cables was going to be alarm. Because he didn't cut all of the cables by any stretch. He cut very specific cables. He knows all of this, and yet they're not going to be able to shoot this dog. And they have enough trank. These darts have enough to take down a Saint Bernard, right? Two people get tranked once. One person gets tranked twice. Not one person loses any significant movement during this scene.
There's not even like a funny, you know, like, oh, I can't use my leg anymore, you know, or something. It's just like, oh, you shot me.
Until the next day when they're walking into Pfister's office to take him up on his deal. And then suddenly Brains can't move his leg. Dum Dum's arm is in a sling. And Skirts McGee, I guess maybe she had some trouble lowering herself into the chair or something. I mean, it's a little bit harder to play off the deadening there, perhaps, but hey, I don't know, dude. That was such a, and like I said, that scene just went on for so long.
Yeah.
Of all the scenes in this movie, and there are some scenes in this movie, that was the one that I was just I was sitting there going, is this still happening? Is this still going? Are they still, this hasn't ended yet? Hasn't everybody, can't we move on to the next part of this movie?
And then we do. And this is where the movie becomes a court drama. For some reason, like, we spend so much time in the courtroom.
Oh, the judge is also somebody that I've seen in a lot of stuff before.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize her.
Okay. I don't know who it was.
Patricia Belcher.
Yeah, good old Patty Belcher there.
She was Miss Dabney in the Disney Channel sitcom Good Luck Charlie, and she was United States Attorney Caroline Julian in the Fox crime procedural comedy drama series Bones.
That's probably what I actually remember her from, because Nancy is all about some Bones. But 144 credits. So again, somebody, a lot of quality character actors in this film.
Sure. Yeah, and you can't fault a working actor, you know? Like I got nothing but respect for somebody who stays busy, you know. But so to finish this movie out, we get to the
courtroom. Oh my gosh,
how
are we not done with this movie yet? This is,
and
we've got to start recording in less time than it takes for the entire film to run.
Oh, old Mr. Pfister is, you know, painting this picture about how Kirk Cameron is a crazy person, and Skirts McGee is recounting the story of him biting her butt, and
how is
she's
it
still she's
how is
still
the trial
wearing
not
the skirt
over there? How is the trial not over? Yeah,
she's still wearing the skirt. It's a big reveal. I mean, they have not prepared at all, which I guess, you know, that's probably their strategy, but so basically, you know, and he calls Kirk Cameron up and he says, like, you know, you were a liar. Was it true? Did you know it wasn't true when you told them you could talk to the dog? And he was like, yeah, it wasn't true. I was lying. And he said, but now you're not lying. And he's like, yeah, true. I'm done lying. But they're losing. Like, the jury is not. They're going to lose the case.
By there, we mean Kirk Cameron, Uncle Phil,
yeah,
and
sorry.
The dog.
Sorry, Kirk, the good guys are losing the case. So they have a short recess. Kirk Cameron's talking to the attorney lady, and he's like,
who is very upset because she asked him if there was anything that he needed to tell her about, and he didn't tell her that he was a crazy person.
Yeah, like, oops, forgot to tell you, I become a dog if this particular dog gets excited. But he tells her, you got to put me on the stand. I can prove it. And like something, so they go back in the courtroom and she says, I'd like to, you know, prove definitively that he can read the dog's mind. And the opposing counsel, Mr. Pfister, says,
because this is how court works.
Right. He says, if you can produce one person who believes him, I'll let you do it. And I'm like, well, that's not your call, my man. You're an attorney. The judge gets to say whether or not she gets to do this, but then Uncle Phil stands up and says, I believe him. And like everyone's like, okay, cool, let's do it.
Well, so, doesn't he like tell the judge, I believe him, do your stuff, yes. man, or something?
Yeah.
Something
he to says, that do effect. Your stuff, buddy.
Do your stuff, buddy. My bad. Yeah.
And then Kirk Cameron goes to take his coat off, and Uncle Phil grabs it and holds it for him. Like, so weird. Anyway, so he's like, Lucky, come on, man, you gotta get excited. And the Mr. Fister's like, this is such a, you know, crock or whatever. It just proves that he's a liar, and that makes Lucky mad. And then Kirk Cameron turns into a dog in the courtroom, and we, you know, go through this thing where they show something to Lucky. And then Kirk Cameron, who's facing the other direction, knows what it is. And that's how they prove that Kirk Cameron can read Lucky's mind, which is, hooray, the crux of the case. When in reality, the crux of the case is he mentally stable?
Yeah, yeah. Just,
and I
just
would argue.
In fact, perhaps even less stable because you can read a dog's mind.
Right. Yeah, I would say that he is not mentally stable because he can read the dog's mind, not the other way around.
Oh, and BT, anyway, BT Dubs, this whole time, the Lucky has been upset because he wanted to go outside on the coldest night of the year. And we know this because every time we see the flashback, old man Oldie Pants says it's the coldest night of the year. And Lucky convinced him to take him out. And then he like, I swear to you, when this flashback happened, I was like, dude's about to get hit with lightning because it's like a stormy night. There's a little bit of lightning and he's got this umbrella out and everything. And I'm like, he's about to get hit with lightning.
I thought Lucky was going to like get distracted and accidentally walk him out in front of a bus or something.
Oh, no. But he just like.
Your boy just falls over.
Yeah, just doubles over, you know, and doesn't get back up. And that's how it ends. And Lucky feels bad because, you know, clearly he was the one who made him go outside, and that's what did him in.
And so in the courtroom, as the family, the siblings are, you know, understanding that they're about to lose this case, the brain starts to put some Alka-Seltzer into water, which
did Alka-Seltzer ever come in a
No, that is a Buckwild. So it's in a pill bottle, the way like ibuprofen.
Like
that
a,
is a
like
Buckwild way
to big honking pill bottle, and he's just plop plop fizz fizz two Alka-Seltzer right out of a bottle.
Yeah, like not a smart way to store a large disc-shaped item. But so that makes Lucky like go, "Hmm?" And then we get an extended flashback where the brains has a bottle that is marked poison, labeled very clearly in very large text so you can read it, poison, and he is poisoning Mr. Windsor's...
Yes, the poison bottle that says poison
coffee
on it.
Before he drinks it. And so this is when we learn that the brains is the one who killed Windsor, his uncle, in order to get the money.
Hey, buddy, I found an Alka-Seltzer bottle for sale on eBay that is pretty close to the bottle that he was using.
Really?
Yeah. So apparently Alka-Seltzer did used to come
bad
out of...
Bad job, Pfizer, or whoever owns Alka-Seltzer. That's a bad way to store that.
Well, it was in a different... It was in like in a... It's been in quite a few bottles. So there you go. I guess I haven't... Because to me, Alka-Seltzer is always... What a turn this one's taking, but to me, Alka-Seltzer's always been in the little packets, right? And you rip it open.
Two of them in a foil packet.
Yeah, and you turn that packet over, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Anyway, but yeah,
when we learn that Brain Man is the one who killed him. And of course, since Lucky saw that, Kirk Cameron saw it, since he is, you know, basically the dog. And so Kirk Cameron pops up, gets out of his dog trance and says, Lucky doesn't know what you put in that bottle, but I know what it is. It was poison.
Wait,
you killed him.
Which, by the way...
It was murder.
By the way, is the first time that I've been introduced to Kirk, Jack, John, Jimmy, whatever name you want to call him, can apparently see what the dog sees.
Yeah.
Not only does he channel the... because the very first time when they, you know, the bone scene and they tear up the living room and the maids leave or the housekeepers leave, he gets up the next morning and he's asking Lucky what they did, which made me think, okay, well, when he becomes Lucky, he loses control of his senses, right?
Right.
But yes. then in the court scene, he not only still knew what he was doing, but he was actually seeing a memory Lucky had.
Right.
That was clear enough.
Poison. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Kirk Cameron says, "You killed him. It was murder." And then in...
Which was dog ex machina right there.
Right. And then so the brain then pulls a gun out.
Yeah, in a courtroom.
In the courtroom.
points it at each bailiff and is like, "Nope, yeah. Put your gun down." And the bailiff's like, "Okay."
Yeah, the world's worst bailiffs. Lucky runs around the side of the courtroom, jumps up, takes out the brain, and you hear the gun go off. And so it's like, oh,
Lucky's
no.
on the ground.
Did he die? And Kirk's like, "Come on, man. Come on, you gotta make it." And then, like, just Lucky pops up. "He's fine. The bullet just grazed his ear." And then Kirk Cameron goes, "Ow," and grabs
Reaches
his own
up
ear.
And grabs his own ear.
And then they have like a big like, "Ha ha 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 ha." But that's not the end, because then we cut to the house and everyone's like having a good time. Mrs. Attorney's there. Uncle Phil's there. We look. The attorney lady's daughter is there. They bought all the dogs from
because,
the pet store.
Because Lucky wanted to buy all the dogs.
And so the little girl has a puppy now, and Kirk Cameron's like, "Oh, well, maybe you guys could just stay here." And my only thought of that, like, it's supposed to be a sweet moment where it's like, oh, man, they're going to get together. And I'm like, there is no reality where this woman, a human person, has seen what she's seen and then says, "Yeah, I'll get into a long-term relationship with you."
Yeah, you crazy. I never know when you're just suddenly going to be out in the yard digging up some bones.
Right.
Or
yeah, and also, like, what happens when the dog dies?
Yeah.
Does he die?
Apparently
if
not.
The dog,
no. Because
if the dog dies when he's excited and Kirk Cameron is the dog,
oh no.
Does Kirk die?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, like, he had this similar psychic connection with his childhood dog, and he's still there. But yeah, this could be one of those Inception-y type things where it's all about where he is when it. Oh man,
they've got to make sure.
Way too dark for. But see, like, he says. You said you wanted her to be part of a large family, and we're here to be her family. We hope you feel that way too. Is that really like asking her? Like that's why I don't.
That's the Disney Channel way to say, like, let's me and you get together.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. it just felt, you know.
The Parent Trap.
Yeah, that was. Which was also a Disney film, and yet had a better way of telling me that definitively these two adults need to get back together or need to get together. Instead of, you know, you should be part of a large family too, which is all of two people, one dog. Well, two people and a bunch of dogs. I don't know that constitutes large family either. And can Kirk Cameron talk to any of the other dogs? Now that Lucky has reawakened and is his head just going to be pounding all night long as, like, seven different dogs are trying to talk to him at the same time?
I don't know. I think it's a per dog thing. I don't think he was ever a dog psychic. I think he just has connections to certain dogs.
Okay. So he's locked into the single dog.
He basically has to buy every dog in the world. Until he finds another one he can talk to.
Or he finds Professor X, jumps into Cerebro, and then he can amplify his dog ESP to find the dog.
Hey, man. Disney owns Fox, who
That's
owns
what
X-Men.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know what? It is about time for the You Lucky Dog X-Men crossover special.
You Lucky
event.
You lucky
you didn't watch this movie and we did.
That's I was trying to come up with a super, super good X-Men reference.
I know, and I tried to save you from floundering there.
You lucky Gambit. Nope.
That's
a weird one.
Congratulations, that was an X-Man that you said there.
That's an X-Man. I got throwing cards. Anyway, yeah, so that's You Lucky Dog. It is way worse than Under Wraps.
Yes, yes. Under Wraps, I feel like after watching this movie, I did not give nearly enough credit to. And I don't know where these films will land once, you know, in like 2042 when we're finally through all the DCOM films. But I feel relatively confident in saying that this is not going to move up very much, and it is low right now.
This was definitely a swing and a miss. It's just totally incoherent. And I know it's a Disney Channel original movie, but if you go back in, like, Under Wraps, I feel like we were definitely critical of Under Wraps, but it was critical in that, like, it was silly.
I had a lot of fun it was watching Under Wraps.
That movie was entertaining as heck. This movie was just confusing.
A slog.
And like I never felt like I understood what was trying to be conveyed.
But you know what? You Lucky Dog is currently in our rankings, is currently the second best DCOM film of all time. And you better watch it now, because I don't think it's gonna hold that spot for very long.
And also the first worst.
I mean, fair enough. It is also the worst DCOM movie we've ever seen. Well, that we've rated. Actually, I don't know about that. I don't know that it's moving, buddy. We will see.
Well, that'll do it for this Disney Channel original movie review. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast, and you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. We will be reviewing Brink, and in, 3 months, we'll see you again.